In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are a few times in the course of the church year the church asks priests to pause and give a sermon on points of reflection. On Sundays, when it's time for instruction to be given to people in a general way, then the church bids priests to give a Sunday sermon. And so it's also too on holy days. But when it's come here to Holy Thursday, the instruction is right there in the rubrio of the liturgy. It says that we're supposed to take a period of time now and reflect upon the mysteries that come to our mind on this evening and what Holy Thursday means for us. To take that moment to pause and to reflect on this first of the three sacred days and what is yet to come. We know with Good Friday, the celebration or the remembrance of our Lord's death upon the cross for us, his time in the tomb for Holy Saturday, and then his resurrection on Sunday. Before we even pass to them, as kind of like a legacy, which dying people do give to loved ones, points of a legacy so that it will make more of an impression on us that these things were given to us just at the moment when our loved one was about to die. And so Jesus gave to us various things, the commandment of charity. He changes the law of charity from the Old Testament to the law of the New Testament. The New Testament is to follow the example of Christ himself. The Old Testament had it given that we followed what we thought we would like to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The measure of charity in the Old Testament still looked at saying, you want people to treat you in this way, you need to treat them that way also. That was the measure of charity of old. In the New Testament, it takes on a different form. We're supposed to imitate Jesus Christ himself, as you are to love one another as I have loved you. And we see in so many parts of the Gospels how we see how Jesus has shown forth his love to his apostles. So this is the new commandment. That's why it sticks out for us so greatly here on Holy Thursday. And that great act of charity, there are the two other great works that we'll reflect upon, and we've done so over the years, on the institution of the Holy Eucharist. And so to make sure the Holy Eucharist would be with us until the end of time, Jesus also established the Holy Priesthood and gave to his apostles and their successors in the priesthood the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood, as they had seen taking place on that Holy Thursday. Well, let's go back to what I'd like to do is look at the great act of charity that Jesus showed. He not only commands to say, you are to love one another as I have loved you, but he gives them the opportunity to see how it is that he has loved them by washing their feet. We reflected upon this before, but it bears another time to mention it. Is that during this time, or usually I should say, when there are great celebrations or feasts or things to be honored, or in this particular case, the Paschal meal was taken. They were from Galilee. They were allowed to have the Paschal meal the night before. So using that dispensation, ordinarily before anything began, then the feet were washed of those who were there, who were part of the guests that were there. And the one who had putting everything together was making sure that all these things were taken care for them, especially to show them an act of love and respect, that because walking with sandals, and all that through the dirt, their feet would be dirty themselves. It was an act of kindness, an act of respect for guests coming in, to wash their feet, and to dry them, and to have them now come before the table. It wasn't just a point of cleanliness as it was a point of comfort. So that's a normal thing that we'd done, but in this case, the gospel we just read here now, Jesus does this a second time. We're told that after the supper is finished, before the next part that is coming, something they hadn't planned on, but Jesus had all this time. He had planned to show his love toward them and to show them, one another, how they are to show forth respect and love for each other in this washing of the feet. Jesus uses the symbolism of the washing of feet to show that they must practice humility. They must be ready to do these things, look out for the needs of their brethren around them. And then lastly, to do so in the spirit of love and in imitation of him. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And as he explained to Simon Peter, when Simon Peter, he just gave some objections about it. He said, pay attention, and to all them there, pay attention to what I am doing here. You may not understand it fully right now, but you will in time. There's symbolism to everything I am doing here right now. It's not just washing your feet now a second time, but it's to show that there's a great act of humility. You now being set apart as my priest, you now being set apart as those who are ministers to me, you must now imitate me. Show forth humility. Show forth love and respect. Imitate me in this way. The great law of commandment of charity falls greatly, first of all, on priests and those who follow him in that sacred life of religions and so forth, and then with the laity. It's a symbolism of what he has done. In that washing the feet, what it means, the act of humility, the act of charity, and how from that point on they are to be humble, modest, still have power and authority, but show forth everything, the virtues that Jesus himself did. On Sunday, in the Sunday bulletin, I gave to you a sheet of paper that has the symbolisms that are there for Holy Week. And it's just a few of them briefly described. There are so many symbolisms that are there. Again, if you have a chance to reflect upon them, and I hope you do. Hope you don't take that insert and just put it away. And then afterwards, you know, if something comes up and say, oh, gee, I didn't know what Father was doing there. I've been to Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Vigil all this time, and I didn't know what was happening. This material, the things are set before us so that we can study, we can understand what the symbolism is. And through that symbolism, you get the message that's deeper behind it. Same thing Jesus was trying to teach the apostles in the washing of the feet. I'm not just washing your feet. This is a symbol. This is an exterior sign of what I want you to do more. To be humble. To always look out for the needs of the brethren. To anticipate them and take care of them. Even though you may be in charge or may have other things here, no one is mightier than Jesus. No one is more important than him. And if he will wash the feet of disciples, he says, so should you. As I have done, you should do also. Great lesson. The symbolism behind that is there. And the symbolism, what is going to take place yet for the ceremonies this evening for Holy Thursday, is wonderful. We have 12 men in the parish who are taking the part of the apostles, and we'll reenact that with the men in the parish here, what took place at that first Holy Thursday before the Last Supper was conducted. The act of humility and care for others, the priest is supposed to show by this act, to follow the symbols, follow the acts, imitate Jesus in this way, and in that way, be able to say that we are true followers of his because we follow him in everything that he does. So the symbolism there, even though the 12 men that are here, I remember, just as an aside, a few years ago, we had everything all set up, you know, for the washing of the feet. Something happened and the 12th person didn't show up. All of a sudden, someone came from out of nowhere, just came in the pew. When there was a blank spot in the pew, he just came in, sat there, had his feet washed, disappeared, never saw him again. It was one of those different things that happened, saying, God, if this symbolism, this great work is supposed to be done, he'll provide somebody there to help us to take care of, because the symbolism is so important. But not just the washing of the feet that takes place, but tonight there is so many things that if you follow with your missals, you'll see various things that take place here tonight in the various ceremonies. Various things that's either part of the prayers that take place. There'll be no confiteor, for example, tonight before Holy Communion. The reason for that is because we're supposed to be sorrowful now in preparation for the at this particular time, if you were taking the time instance, that Jesus is being betrayed by Judas. And so there's sorrow there. So we already have this contrition, this sorrow in our heart. And so that's why the confiteor is not expressed, again, at this particular point. Symbolism there. We're not just dropping out prayers just to do that. The Agnus Dei, you know how it says, Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, and then grant us peace at the end. It's not like God doesn't want to have us peace, but any of the prayers that are usually in the Mass for peace are not said tonight. Three times tonight we ask for the Lamb of God to have mercy on us. The prayer that's usually said before communion, as part of the Mass, that first prayer, where we ask for peace. You know, Lord, the peace I live with you, my peace I give to you. Grant not peace there, but also to thy church and to all people throughout the world. That's going to be set aside for tonight. That's set aside because this is a night of betrayal. It is not that we don't wish to pray for peace, but the things of peace are not being accomplished there, and so the liturgy shows it forth bit by bit in its various ways. After Holy Communion, the altar will start to be prepared for our procession with the Blessed Sacrament. The symbolism there, I already remarked about it before Mass, the symbolism there, this is the time that Jesus is dragged from the Garden of Gethsemane up to the point where the house of Caiaphas, where he's taken before the Sanhedrin and judged, and after he is judged, he is dragged and put into a prison, there to wait until he is brought before Pilate to receive the condemnation of death. This is why we ask you to keep hours of adoration. From the time we finish with the liturgy for tonight, all the way through the day, until we begin our Good Friday ceremonies tomorrow. We're keeping company with Jesus all this time, while he is in prison, waiting for the sentence of death that he knows that will come. And then we reflect upon that sentence of death with the liturgy. There's so much that's shown in the symbolism of liturgy tomorrow that brings us to the point of mourn for the death of our Savior and our Founder. After the Blessed Sacrament is taken here to the altar of repose and placed in the tabernacle, as Jesus would be in prison, and afterwards with the servers, I stripped the altar, the main altar. Everything was taken off. The altar will no longer be used for Mass now until Easter Sunday. That stripping of the altar just shows the symbolism here, that everything that had been done of the old law is gone and done. The Sanhedrin, all those people have been stripped of their authority. The sacrifice will not be offered here, it will be offered elsewhere, just as it is with Calvary that has taken place. So many different parts of symbolism tonight. I just hope and pray that as you follow with the Mass, if you use a little mistletoe in the back of the church, you follow the prayers there for the liturgy for tonight and the little paragraphs that are there to describe to you what is taking place. All these things will help you to understand more and more the symbolism of the liturgy that is taking place, how many changes it takes place in the liturgy over these next few days, so that your spirit of faith and love in Almighty God will grow. That is what the liturgy is here for us. It's here to help us, to assist us in grow in faith, grow in love of God, acknowledge Him as Lord and Master and Creator and Redeemer. The better that we can assist at all these liturgical functions, following along with the prayers, with the symbolism that is there, trying to understand them better and better, more and more, it gives us greater sources for reflection in our own hearts, as well as also building up that spirit of faith. That's just another one of the great, besides the great mysteries we acknowledge tonight, of the institution of the commandment of charity, of the Holy Eucharist, and the priesthood. But it's the liturgy of the Church. The mystery that is there of what our Mother the Church does in her prayers to Almighty God. How things are changed. And if we have been following and acknowledging our Lord so much during Lent, and our hearts are ready and prepared for Him, these symbolisms will not be lost on us. Our faith will grow and become stronger. We will love Jesus even more as we see Him die and be betrayed, because He did all these things for love of us. So like I said, what we're going to continue with right now, as the liturgy continues, will be with the washing of the feet here. The gospel that we read here gives us enough of that symbolism, what it means. That what Jesus has done, we are to do also. The humility, the love, the even showing forth that I will humiliate myself for the love of others. To beat down pride, that is so important for us in every way. That's that great work that takes place tonight. That's what's shown forth in all the liturgy. And I pray that you will follow that and increase in love and devotion. And then that peace that we again pray for when Easter comes, that prayer for peace that joins us once again in the liturgy of the Church, it will be so great, so wonderful. No man, no thing, nothing else that we would try would ever in any way bring us peace of heart and soul than what we can find in the sacred liturgy itself and what comes by the prayers and follow and worship God in this way. But we do so day by day, step by step, with all this symbolism that's set before us. So we'll begin now, as we said, get ready for that, for this great act of the reenacting what had taken place that first Holy Thursday, so that more and more we can see and thank God for that, the humble and humiliating act of Jesus, in which he shows us once again just how much he loves us in every way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.